What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, your morning pitching podcast from PitcherList.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is April 3rd, and yes, we are going to talk about baseball. I apologize, by the way, for the confusion. On Sunday, I never actually hit publish on the Sunday podcast. I saw some people were confused, like, hey, where's that podcast? I see the numbers and stuff. I recorded it, did all the things, and I'm really sorry that there wasn't a Sunday Plus Pitch Podcast. You see, it's like 4:56 and then 4:58 and there's no 4:57. That's because of that. I don't have the file anymore or anything like that. So it's just kind of a lost podcast and I did all the things, but that's just how that is. Apologize for all the confusion. We have Cole Reagans versus Burns today and I will be watching it on playback. I don't know. I don't believe we can live stream it and show it, but I'll be there reacting to it with you. So if you want to hang out with me at 1 p.m. in like an hour, come hang out. I'll be there till 3. So, it's going to be dope, dope, dope. Speaking of dope, so was Alec Marsh yesterday. 7 innings, 1 earned run, 2 hits, 1 walk in, 5 strikeouts, just 10 whiffs, but 32% C. So that'd be only 76 pitches for 7 innings. My gosh, Orioles, come on. Yeah, that's pretty wild. I think it was just one of those days where things kind of worked in the zone. Honestly, it's nice that he had an eclectic crew, right? It wasn't just like fastballs and sliders. It was sweepers, and it was also gyro sliders. And it was also 25% changeup, which is cool. But the changeup was really the main thing. He returned 8 outs on 10 swings on that changeup. And they were really well spotted down. But there was some BABIP fortune there. He gets a White Sox next, which isn't terrible. But I don't really think that Alec Marsh is all of a sudden turning into the breakout guy. This is fine. That's pretty much what it is. And he could be a Toby. And that's cool. That's a different guy than we envisioned last year. But I don't really know if I can really buy into the change of being this effective all the time. Framber Valdez had a much better start against the Jays. That's really cool. He earned outs on sinkers, and they were good sinkers. Like, sometimes he throws sinkers over the middle of the plate, and they're bad sinkers, and like, ugh, whatever. These were good sinkers. He deserved a lot of the success. That's cool. No walks. That's great. Changeup and cutter were not really there, and that's kind of weird. But whatever. Neckbeard approach works for Framber Valdez. Nice to see it. Tyler Anderson, 7 innings of shutout ball against the Miami Marlins. I gotta say, he did do the Blake Snell blueprint well. 4 seamers and cutters upstairs, but really that changeup was down 10 for 34 whiffs. That's great. He's a Toby. And just saying, you don't want to go for the next one against the Dodgers, so let's just leave him on the wire and let him sit there. I mean, actually, I don't know if it's the Dodgers next. It's just not good starts. Just let him hang out there for a while. Okay, cool. Zach Gallen, much better against the Yankees. 6 innings of 0 earned runs. So that's cool. We're happy with that. 3 hits, 3 walks, 6 Ks. 4 whiffs on 96 pitches. 25% CSW. He's still 1-2 ticks down. And he's obviously missing very few bats, just 4 whiffs on 96 pitches. But his changeup curve, and yes, even slider, were delicately placed here, and that's nice. Like, around the zone. They didn't really get many whiffs on it. And then he just kind of pounded 4 seamers and then that worked. The Yankees were, I don't know how to put this, like, they weren't really happy with the home plate umpire. I'm not saying that Gallen got away with all of this, but it isn't quite, like, I don't know, sustainable in my view. You have a worse fastball now. It's so towing the line. And maybe that's just who Gallen is forever now. And I should be more favorable of it. I'm just still a little bit worried, especially with the worse fastball. And he's going to have more of these volatile starts, I think, that we saw. We've seen in the past from Gallen, I should say. This isn't a volatile one. This is a good one. Got the win, all that kind of stuff. And we keep starting him. Like, I don't really think we should be doing much. But if, let's say, he has another good start and it seems still strange, I might be selling high and seeing if I can get something that is obviously going to work out better. You know, there's a good swap that you can have there. Like, if someone is offering Bobby Miller, honestly, I would take that instead of Zach Gallen. Okay. Javier Assad against the Rockies in Wrigley. 6 innings. 0 runs. What? Got the win in 89 pitches. I'm so shocked Javier Assad went so long in this one. But I guess he was just kind of cruising, and they're like, all right, just keep going. It means that they can also save the bullpen more for Drew Smyly today, which is a bigger deal. But yeah, blame it on the Rockies. Don't really expect Assad to be able to do this again. Shane Bieber against the Mariners, 9 strikeouts, 6 innings, 0 runs, 6 hits, 0 walks, like, insanely good. That's 20 strikeouts in 2 starts, because he faced the Athletics last week with 11 Ks. Slider/cutter, whatever you want to call it, it's looking great. It really is. However, remember the hype about Shane Bieber? Oh man, he's setting 93. This is amazing. This is amazing. I was like, I don't know if I'm going to buy this. And the first time he was 92 and change. I'm like, okay. Last year he was 91.3. Bieber was just 91.6 on that fastball here. So when I look back at 2023 and why I was really encouraged by Bieber in that first start that I pushed him up on the list was, hey, you have two aspects of last year improving. One, breaking balls are getting whiffs again. And two, fastball velocity is back up. But this is not fastball velocity back up. This is bad. Or it's, yeah, it's just not good. 91.6, right? So I hope that it will come back up, or at the very least that the slider is going to stick around. It does look like that. So at the very least that you have a Holly, right? You have like a 25% strikeout rate guy, not the greatest ratios probably, but good ones, and going six innings. So he does belong really in where that Justin Steele and Framber Valdez area was. Obviously Justin Steele's on the IL, like the Joe Musgrove area. That is correct. And I don't think he's going to go further than that. I don't know if he's going to get ace. He's going to ace, but he does get the White Sox next. A lot of you guys are going to be demanding it, but realize it's Oakland, Seattle, White Sox. When he gets challenged, and we'll really get a good understanding of where Shane Bieber is. And I do also do want to mention, I'm currently 6-0 with my streaming rankings, right? However, that is not really a product of me being good or something. It is a product of so many teams being bad. There is a lot more of a gap between the best offenses and the worst offenses, I believe, this year. So you have teams like the White Sox. You have teams like, I think the Mariners are pretty bad of an offense. Tigers, the Rockies, the Athletics, the Nationals. These are some really, really bad offenses that you guys can absolutely take advantage of. And you see like Sean Manaea doing well against the Tigers, stuff like that, where it's, you probably like, it's going to be a lot more of a streamable season, I think, than usual. Keep that in mind. You also have, of course, at the beginning of the year, which means you have fuller rotations and more guys that we're not really thinking are just going to be like four innings or so. We feel like, oh, cool, that is a guy who can go that distance, which means then, you know, not all of them are my teams. There are fewer injuries so far as we collect them as we go on. Long story short, it's one of those years where streaming is good now. And be aware of this and play matchups a little bit more heavily than I think we normally would. Spencer Turnbull did well, and this was the Reds on the road, which I wouldn't label as a bad offense. And Turnbull did really well. 5 innings, 0 runs, 3 hits, 0 walks, and 7 Ks. I got to mention, this is Turnbull against the Reds, who had Graham Ashcraft going. And honestly, they're kind of similar, which sounds crazy, right? What? Turnbull's not like super hard stuff, you know, Ashcraft. Well, Turnbull's four-seamer is really a cutter, and he also pairs it with a slider. What do you know? That's what Ashcraft does. So this was nice. I watched all of the strikeouts, and there's like one that really impressed me, which was a really nice changeup to a lefty away that was filthy. But a lot of them were like these cutters up and away at 90, 91 that came back top right of the corner. So up and away. I was like, is that really going to last? I don't know. I don't think so. There's also two breaking balls so much in the dirt, or like so out of the zone, that were just terrible swings. Like really bad. You shouldn't be swinging at those. So I'm not really thinking this is that sustainable for Spencer Turnbull at the moment. He gets the Cardinals next, which can go either way. They're very much of a 50-50 as far as how that offense performs. But yeah, Spencer Turnbull isn't someone that I go, oh man, I really need to jump in on this one for a winning team. He's a streamable guy at the moment. Let's monitor this with just 8 whiffs and 83 pitches. It's just not really the thing I want to go for. Let's say Ryan Brazier, who opened for the Fratty Pirate. That is Ryan Yarbrough. 4.8 innings of not very good, and we do not touch that. Thank you so much, Dodgers, for that day of whatever. Garrett Crochet. Oh, man. I've got a lot of thoughts about Garrett Crochet, and I'm going to share them all with you after this break. Garrett Crochet against Atlanta. Look, last week I said I didn't know what to believe here. Looks like a lefty Michael Kopech. Still kind of does, honestly, but a better version now with the cutter. We'll talk about that in a second. But I was saying, look, it's a bad schedule, say, for the one after the start with Atlanta. Like, it's Kansas City next, which you're okay about. And I don't really know how good that was against the Tigers because it was the Tigers. So here it was against Atlanta. Furtree made a really good point inside of Twitch. Or not Twitch, I should say. We're all in playback now. No more Twitch. And he made a great comment saying, look, don't you want these questionable starters that we don't know if they're good or bad facing a good lineup, because then we'd be able to discern it early. And I made the point then saying no, because I want to be able to start them with confidence while also figuring it out. But this start from Crochet does showcase, hey, this is more legit early on. 7 innings, 1 earned run, 3 hits, 1 walk, and 8 strikeouts. And that's something I might weigh more next year about. I'm able to at least get know about it more. I mean, like Brian Pepiot, though, you don't feel good about that, right? So I don't know. 18 whiffs, 37% CSW for a golden goal. Man, he looked good. 96-97 with the heater, 43% CSW with the slider. Cutter usage to 20% for 56 CSW. Now, I don't know how much I believe it still. Like, some of those cutters were just way over the middle of the plate. They just kind of passively took them. And you also had this slider that I still don't know if, like, it's very much over the zone, right? Is a fastball just like that overwhelming? And I understand at times it's like, whoa, 99, bam, done. But I don't know yet. I feel a little weirded out by it still. Obviously, I wish that I just picked him up last weekend. I was like, yes, guys, oh my gosh, what am I doing? Get him for the Tigers in the first start and then go from there and whatever. And I actually got multiple Twitter DMs about Garrett Crochet. Just want to let everybody know, I don't answer DMs on Twitter. It's just, I find myself very accessible here on Playback. If you want to ask me questions and stuff, it's going to be here. I don't generally answer DMs, maybe very rarely, but I'm not being rude. I promise. I just need to take a step away because I do a lot of stuff and I need to have time away from answering questions and everything. So I apologize. It is incredibly touching that you guys care to ask me and that you want my thoughts. My office hours are 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. every single weekday morning. I often do stuff inside the Discord too, as much as I can, but any sort of personal DMs, I generally do not answer, just as a heads up. But yeah, Garrett Crochet, obviously we're going to pick him up for the next win against the Royals. I'm still not totally sold that he's just going to be the stud that you're going to hold the rest of the year. I just want that to be known. I do worry a little bit that his command is going to fluctuate, and there will be times when guys are just jumping on the heater because he can't command the slider. We'll see. Zach Eflin against the Rangers got the win. 6.1 innings, 1 run. See, we're not worried. Not worried. We're good. Reynaldo Lopez was opposite Garrett Crochet. It was a great game against the White Sox. Not as exciting as Crochet. However, he should get more wins. There's the back and forth there. Reynaldo Lopez was good. He did what he needed to do against the White Sox. Am I going to start him against good teams? No. I don't think he's that great. 2 out of 20 whiffs on his slider, just 55% strikes. It was enough because his fastball just lived in the zone against a bad team. It's fine. Mets are next. Okay. Good win chance. Just that's why we have Reynaldo Lopez. Jose Barrios against the Astros. 6 innings, 1 run, 6 hits, 3 walks, and 2 strikeouts. It's fine against the Astros. Like, he's one of those guys that you just kind of start, and he's the great undulator, and he was able to command around the zone. Honestly, Eno would be super happy to hear that or see that Barrios had high sinkers and that worked. Because he was able to finagle through some walks and some hits. And yeah, he's fine. That's Barrios. At least he has a decent win chance. He's good for quality start leagues, all that stuff, but he's going to undulate and it's gonna happen. Andrew Heaney, by the way, against the Rays. You have 4.2 innings, not great. 1 earned run, okay. I think he has 2 unearned. 4 hits, 0 walks, 7 strikeouts, 18 whiffs. And I've seen this from some lefties so far, where I've been holding back a sneeze for a while. I don't know if it's just going to appear, and I apologize. Where they've been pounding the zone upstairs and doing like the Blake Snell blueprint a bit of just four-seamers are upstairs. They're not like the best shapes, but here's 12 out of 57 four-seamer whiffs when he was lower on velocity. And it's something that Eno mentioned on the craft, which I think is still really amazing. I'm thinking about a ton. Whiffs are more about location, while stuff is more about contact mitigation. And that makes all the sense. Locating in the right spot, it's going to be harder to react quickly enough and be able to like, oh man, no, I need to swing at that one because that's a strike and I didn't think it would be a strike. While stuff is just moving around more. So you're not going to get barrels as much. Makes a ton of sense. So maybe that's just why you see the 18 whiffs here and 12 of 57 on the four seamer. But Heaney is not someone I think of just precision every time. I do not like his secondaries. this was weird. He was also 90 pitches to go 4.2 innings. Obviously, the error affected this. I don't see him having a breakout season. Like, he's done this. Jacob Junis, 4 innings, 1 earned run, 3 hits, 1 walk in, 4 Ks, 9 whiffs, 40% CSW, 47 pitches for 4 innings. I mean, that's efficient. That's great. And the Brewers still didn't leave him in. So, you don't want to do this. The Twins aren't very good right now either. Miles Michaelis survived against the Padres. 6 innings of 200 runs, 7 hits, 1 walk in, 4 Ks. You got to win. Cool. Maybe Michaelis is going to make this work with lower fastballs than usual, but 3 whiffs, guys. Three whiffs. Okay. Graham Ashcraft, as I mentioned, went opposite of Spencer Turnbull. 6 innings, 200 runs. He did the thing you wanted him to do. 5 base runners and 5 Ks is great. Honestly, the cutter wasn't up, which is nice. He kept it down finally. I think the biggest problem I've seen from Ashcraft over the years is that it's a shotgun blast of cutters when he really should just be more in the bottom half. Not just don't be up, because that cutter up is really not breaking down enough for batters to prevent barrels, right? If you keep that down, then those become ground balls, and it's going to be really hard to get lift on it at that velocity. So he needs to do that a ton if he can. That's actually a big deal. What's also interesting is that those cutters were third most thrown. Sliders and sinkers. Whoa, finally, you're using the sinker and actually commanding it. That's kind of interesting. I'm going to at least monitor this for Ashcraft to see if he's going to be a decent command guy, because he's always been a good stuff one. We know this. He's like the prototypical great stuff, but command is woo. So we'll see from Ashcraft. Take note of it. And we will talk later. I don't think it's a great matchup next, as he's going to go back into Cincinnati for his next one. So I don't know if I really want to lean into that this one outing. But hey, Ashcraft is maybe someone that might be on your wire, so consider it. Yu Darvish against the Cardinals, 7 innings, 3 earned runs, 5 hits, 1 walk in, 6 strikeouts. He threw 8 pitches here. And the splitter and the slider were at 44% usage combined, combining for a 33% swing strike rate as well. You love to see that. And I think the slider is really Darvish's best pitch, so awesome there. And to see the splitter actually be really good is fantastic. Jesus Luzardo, 5.1 innings of 3 earned runs. Honestly, he threw a bad changeup, a bad fastball, a bad slider. Each of those got punished. One of them did not result in a run. The other, two of them did. And yeah, I mean, that's just kind of how it works, right? You throw some bad mistakes. And why I like guys who don't make mistakes is that you get, or a few mistakes, you have a smaller margin of error. Those weren't the only ones that Luzardo threw, but the ones that did damage, the pitches that had damage done to them were mistakes, and that's a big difference to me. Nestor Cortez against Arizona, 5 innings, 3 earned runs, 8 hits, 2 walks, 2 Ks. This was like last start where he had a bad first inning and then he settled down. However, just 1 out of 46 four-seamer whiffs, as he had much less IVB. And I'm wondering if this is good enough, Nestor Cortez, or if he's just a Toby. He might honestly just be that. He could also be ramping up, but also keep in mind he has an injury history. And there's just a lot more, like, why would I go for Cortez instead of, like, Jared Jones right now? I don't think that he's showcasing that legit ceiling at the moment. Maybe he does. Maybe he's just, whoop, there it is. And I shouldn't really judge after 2 starts. But so far, it does look like kind of pedestrian Nestor Cortez. Kind of like how he looked before he got hurt last year. And that's a little bit concerning for me. Alex Wood was part of that Manaea and Heaney bit with 12 whiffs here. And a really good Blake Snell blueprint. Fastballs were upstairs, sinkers, but kind of like fastballs or four-seamers with changeups and sliders down. Like, this is cool. And went against the Red Sox for 5 innings of 300 runs, 6 hits, 2 walks. 7 Ks though. Not going to get a win. At least he knows how to do that. And if he gets great matchups, like, consider Alex Wood. It's just that it's the Texas Rangers next. Also, he's not efficient. 96 pitches for 5 innings is something to note. As clearly, like, it's not the greatest arsenal. But hey, you're commanding well, and you are having a good approach, so maybe this does work out. Louis Varland is someone that we aren't going after, unfortunately. Like, I've been really like, oh man, Louis Varland, I'm so happy he's starting. And then I pulled back because under, you know, more scrutiny, it was something where you aren't showcasing that eliteness yet. Like, even when you started last year, you didn't quite click, and your four-seamer is good, but it's not as elite as like others, and you have only really like 2 pitches that you trust yet. It's like, it's almost there. I'm so happy he has the opportunity, and it's a case where we need to see really one really good one, or at least a great matchup that we feel much better about. And this was at Milwaukee. I had him as a questionable start. 4 innings, 300 runs, six hits, two walks, four Ks. Only 12 out of 26 strikes on his cutter, which is really rough. You got to be better with that one. The four-seamer can be very good. It's just not quite there. And now he gets a Dodgers. So, unfortunately, I feel guilty about it because I was really just hoping he was going to be a starter at the beginning of the year. And I was kind of like grouping him with all these others. Then as I got more information on it, I spread it out and I started moving away from Borland. But yeah, I am not in at the moment. It's against the Dodgers next. And I think we can be a little more tepid and chase other things versus Borland. Like, Ronald Lopez should be rostered instead of Louis Borland. Like, Garrett Crochet, Borland. Detmers, more than Borland. Okay. Luis Castillo against the Guardians. Don't be afraid. I know 10 hits, one walk. Don't worry. He's normally a slow starter, but honestly, even he pitched better in this one. 10 hits. Like, seriously, come on. He got singled out here. Don't worry about it. Brian Bayo, 5 innings, 4 in runs, 5 hits, 1 walk, 6 Ks. He didn't have the best sinker command in this one. He was more over the middle. He did get hit hard a bit. The 4 in runs were just two home runs, really. The slider earned 7 over 22 whiffs. One of them was really bad, a front door slider that on a 2-1 pitch that was just destroyed. And then his changeup, actually, not those sinkers, changeup allowed another 2-run blast. So obviously, like, the sinker got them there, but the guy's on base. But the changeup was pretty bad, and it was destroyed too. So keep that in mind. Those are two bad pitches that allowed two home runs. Otherwise, this wouldn't have been a good Oakland start. You should be totally fine with Bayo. Cole Irvin is just not looking that good. You shouldn't really go after Cole Irvin. Logan Webb, honestly, I don't know how Betts hit that pitch down and away, like, perfectly in a 3-1 count for a home run. I don't get it. Whatever, the Dodgers are weird. And Kyle Freeland, I'm so sorry for that dumb tweet. At least I preface it as a dumb tweet, and we do not touch Kyle Freeland. All right, looking forward to tomorrow's starting pitchers. This is what I'm going to do moving forward with this, because you guys already know how I feel about today's starters. Keep in mind, get Casey Mize in your lineup because it was a rainout yesterday. Adrian Hauser was the Tigers guy. The Mets guy going against the Tigers. He's still a questionable start, not a bad one. So make sure if you have those guys, you have them in your lineup. And looking forward to tomorrow's Pablo Lopez and Tarik Skubal at the top. Tarik Skubal is pushed to tomorrow because of the rainout. And then you have Seth Lugo as your probable starter. And with Tanner Bibee, Seth Lugo is a streamer. I'm surprised it's under 20% roster. It's against the White Sox. Oh, man. Questionable start. I do like Jose Quintana against the Tigers. So if you have him on your team, make sure he's in the lineup tomorrow, not today. Ryan Weathers against the Cardinals. Martin Perez against the Nationals. And Lance Lynn against the Marlins is in that questionable start tier. Ryan Weathers, there are skills I do like, with, especially with the fastball. Like, the changeup is there. Hopefully the slider is better. But the Cardinals are kind of good, and I just want to wait one more. Martin Perez is a win chance. And then Lance Lynn is against the Marlins for strikeouts, potentially. And then do not start. I don't want to do Josiah Gray as a home run machine against the Pirates. And Michael Soroka just did not look good in his first outing. And now he gets the Royals, who are actually kind of decent. So just wait for at least a good one before we trust that one. That is it for today. I am hoping this Burns and Reagan start goes. I gotta go record the craft with, you know, after this. But that is it. So my name is Nick Pollock, and may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed, also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.